Elevate 150 Financial Checkups at Notre Dame Federal Credit Union. Here's how it works. Go online and schedule a 30-minute phone call. They'll guide you through your credit report to find ways to improve your financial health. Then they'll send $150 in your name to Redeemer Radio. For information, visit NotreDameFCU.com/elevate. You already share our values. Why not share in our benefits? Notre Dame FCU.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame Federal Credit Union and our listeners.
Salvation comes from the Latin word salus, which means health and well-being. Illness and sin are therefore both in different ways, a lack of the health and well-being that is intended for us. We might even say that we are created for wholeness just as we are created for holiness, and that growing in one means growing in the other. Salvation is both a matter of wholeness and holiness. The Martin Center for Integration seeks to bring together what is all too often kept apart: mental health and faith development. It is common for either one or the other of these two to be emphasized, but far too rare for both sanity and sanctity to be cared for and promoted together in their own distinctive but coordinate ways. Today, I welcome the husband and wife founders of the Martin Center to talk with us about this mission of integration, the needs that they are responding to, and how we become really whole, really healthy, really holy. Pat Millay is Formation and Operations Director for the Martin Center for Integration, while Kenna Millay is Clinical Director for the center. Both have extensive experience in church ministry with advanced degrees in theology and formation in ministry from the University of Notre Dame, while Kenna is also a licensed marriage and family therapist. As for me, I'm Leonard DiLorenzo. This is Church Life Today, a production of the McGrath Institute for Church Life and the Spoke Street Media Network. I'm glad you're here. Kenna, Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to see you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Pat, you've worked for a long time now in ministry, including youth ministry, catechetical ministry, and more on the parish level, speaking across the country. And Kenna, in addition to also working in ministry, you've maintained a private practice in marriage and family therapy. But now together, you've launched something new with this Martin Center for Integration that intentionally joins support for mental health and faith development. I was wondering if you could start off by telling us, what is the need that you've seen and that you're responding to with the Martin Center?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my clinical practice, I encounter people who are struggling with daily life, relationships, maintaining a job, being able to find healthy coping mechanisms for the stressors that we all encounter. And in my reading as well, in trying to equip myself to support them and lead them, I see this overlap between the spiritual life, the development of the human, and psychology, therapeutic practice, especially from my perspective as a marriage and family therapist. I'm specializing in systems dynamics. So looking at the interplay of the members of a family or an organization, a workplace. So recognizing that there was not only this gap of human formation that my clients need in terms of grounding skills. How do I address these anxious running thoughts through my head, but also an opportunity to deepen the relationship with God and be connected to others and self through that. So this natural integration of the psychology and the theology, the mental health and the faith formation.
And I would say too, that we use the term integration for the Martin Center very intentionally, because I think both of us identified, both from Kenna's clinical practice and from both of our experience in ministry, the ways that there can be disintegration between mental health and faith, that there can be this great chasm between those two that really fails to serve either one. You know, so the idea of bringing those two together is the great Catholic both and, that we as body, soul creatures, as receiving the gift of the incarnation, we have souls that need treatment, development, and growth, and we need bodies and minds and hormones and chemicals and synapses that need treatment and development and growth as well. So it really does a disservice to the human person to try to treat either of those in isolation. And we just believe there's a great opportunity to serve the whole person.
How do you think that this at least perceived dichotomy between mental health and growth and faith harms or hinders individuals, families, organizations? How have you seen that?
Yeah. So one of the theoretical principles when I'm working with a client is that their mental health symptomology actually comes out of a fragmentation. It comes out of this lack of connection between parts of themselves. So for example, when I'm explaining this to a client, I'll say, you know how when the alarm goes off in the morning, a part of you really wants to just roll over and hit snooze and stay in bed. And a part of you is like, I want to get up before the kids are up and get my cup of coffee and have my prayer time while the house is quiet. Well, that happens on a much grander scale as well. And that's where the internal conflict that people speak of when they come to me, a part of me wants to get divorced, a part of me doesn't. Part of me wants to have more children, make a move in my career. A part of me doesn't. So bringing that together is a big part of what we do clinically. And I see that also spiritually as well, that if we are going to keep in this field, separating, fragmenting the spiritual from the psychological, there isn't actually wholeness. There isn't the completeness of the person as we were created to be.
We've seen, I think, flaws, again, in terms of that dichotomy in isolating one area of service and care to the detriment of the other. And I think all of us have kind of experienced that in one way or another. You know, we'll talk to people who are very confident in an increasingly secular field of mental health resources in an increasingly secular culture, and who see no place at all for spirituality of any kind, much less spirituality that is connected to the person of Jesus Christ and is seeking true fulfillment in this life and salvation for the next. And there's all kinds of ways that we can identify the spiritual and how the spiritual harm then connects to mental harm, physical harm, that there are ways that our whole bodies respond when our soul isn't treated well. On the other hand, many very good, very charitable people of faith will speak about treating mental health concerns in merely physical fashions. We were just talking to a friend last week who has experienced a lot of grief in their life. And they told us about how frustrating it was when good people of faith, very, very helpful clergy, would just tell them, you know what, just give it to God. If you would just spend more time in adoration, that would help, you know? So there's this kind of, again, a both and. Please spend more time in adoration. Please give it to God. Prayer is effective and it's the first strategy. But for many of us, there are other human gifts that God has given us that we need to pursue, other resources that maybe the church isn't responsible for providing all of the time, you know, in terms of a therapist or medication, things like that.
In that example you're just giving, Pat, it sounds to me, if we were to put a sort of label on this, like the over-spiritualization of what might be mental health issue or a mental health area for growth or reaching towards wholeness, especially because both of you have worked in ministry in various ways for a long time now. Talk to us a little bit about that, about this sort of temptation towards the over-spiritualization, either in any of your sort of areas where you've worked, and sort of what a response to that might be. Because like you were saying, Pat, it's not like, well, don't do that, but it's maybe seeking for healing and wellness in the wrong way at the wrong time in the wrong area.
Yeah, I wonder some ways if it's tied to just what feels like an increasing comfort with false extremes in general, in every part of life, that it's really hard to hold the middle and to live in a place that requires that both and. So there are a lot of folks that I've talked to, young and old, who find it really difficult to acknowledge, okay, I need to pray consistently and intentionally about this. There may be elements about this that I need to bring to confession. If I'm working with a spiritual director, this is really important information to bring to them. And also, spiritual director is not a therapist, and I may also need a therapist, or I may need to talk to my primary doc about this to see if there are medications that are going to really help my mind just get back to the way I was made to be, get back to status quo, so that I can then start to thrive in my soul, in my body, in my relationships. I think a lot of times one of the ways that when I work with this, especially high school youth, but really everyone can kind of understand the metaphor of physical health, right? That if I have a broken leg, it's important for me to pray about that. It's beautiful for me to pray about that. And there are certainly extraordinary situations where God provides miraculous healing for physical wounds, right? Mm-hmm. All throughout scripture, all throughout the history of the church, there is a very clear precedent. And also, the typical way that a person receives healing for a broken bone is you go to the doctor and you let them help you. And Ken and I were just talking about this last night. You know, our physical bodies are designed to heal. They're built to heal, but they just need help. Like if I don't go to the doctor, my leg will heal, but it will heal in a wrong way. And it'll cause me more pain down the road than I'm even experiencing now. And our minds are very similar. You know, our minds are very resilient and they're able to cope with a lot and recover from a lot, but they're not able to recover from everything by themselves. Sometimes we need someone's help to set us back on the right path. And that relationship alone with a therapist is also a gift from God, just like a relationship with a good priest, with a strong parish community. These are all gifts that are important to take advantage of.
And when I think about that over-spiritualization idea, I think about how often that is taking the event that's happening, the discomfort or what have you, out of a context of reality. So one of the big things that we talk about at the Martin Center is God is giving you all that you need in order to grow in the virtue and to recognize where he's calling you for greater healing, conversion. And so with my clients, I find that there are a lot of cognitive dissonances or thought distortions, we say. And part of the work is helping them to tolerate reality. And I see over-spiritualization as one of those potential distortions. It's not really being grounded in the here and now and what is true, because what is true is that you are a soul and a body with a mind and experiencing, you know, the brokenness of these relationships or these challenges in the workplace. So that's a big piece of what we speak to people about as well, is how can you use the real stuff of your life to hear where God is calling you forward.
This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spoke Street Media Network. My guests are Kenna and Pat Millay, co-founders of the Martin Center for Integration, which provides services for the integration of mental health and faith for individuals, families, and organizations. You can find them online at martincenterforintegration.com. I want to pick up on a couple of things that you guys said, one from each of you. Maybe I'll just pick up with where you left that off, Kenna. These thought distortions, as you were talking about, and part of helping people to tolerate reality. I wonder if you can speak to a little bit about what, especially in our modern world and our modern situations, modern families, modern communities, these external factors, if there are some that you would be able to identify, that have made it harder to tolerate reality.
Yeah, absolutely. The biggest one that comes to mind are the ways in which our modern life is geared toward comfort. And I think about comfort, certainly in a physical sense. We have more amenities for those of us, especially living here in modern America. There's just a lot of technology and conveniences available to us that weren't even 30, 40 years ago.
Right.
So comfort definitely on the physical level, but also on the psychological level, that if I am bored, if I am sad, if I am overwhelmed, I'm just going to flick on the YouTube. I'm going to run back to that text string and lose myself in these things. And and let myself be pulled up and out of what is real, which is I'm grieving something, which is why I feel sad. Or there's something looming in my marriage and I feel scared. So in terms of the externals, yeah, I think it takes a lot more intentionality and a lot more commitment to create spaces of really sitting in what is true inside of us and outside of us. It's why, you know, mindfulness, I think, is on the rise. Even within the church, we're finding ways to use these kinds of practices, not in a nihilistic kind of sublimation way, but truly to enter into God's presence and let Him reveal to us, hey, here's what's real and true. Here's what's actually going on. And within that, I get to be told what's mine to own in the marriage that's driving me crazy. Or what's mine to own in that parenting child relationship that makes me feel batty. So coming back to sitting in that reality, being able to hear God give clarity, shed light on what's actually going on, and calling us to turn down the volume on some of those externals.
There's a lot of ways that we're learning more about scientifically how social media in particular is similar to chemical drug addiction in the ways that it triggers the brain in terms of dopamine response, things like that. But one of the other similarities that's less chemical between something like social media and drug addiction, drug abuse, is that they both are excellent ways to avoid reality. They're excellent ways to just escape, to run, to numb out, to ignore what's right in front of you. There are certainly some times that escape is good and healthy, like watching a movie can be a really great thing to celebrate relationships and art, that's fine. But consistently avoiding reality is another way of saying consistently avoiding the voice of God in my life, consistently avoiding what God wants to tell me about the hardships that I'm going through, and maybe even the meaning and the redemption that is in the midst of those hardships that I'll never find if I'm just running off to scrolling Instagram or TikTok or whatever.
Right. You know, Pat, this somewhat relates to something that you had said earlier that I also wanted to pick up on. You said to us that, you know, we know that our bodies are made to heal, or maybe we don't know that, but we can recognize it, right? You break a bone, like the body is kind of designed, like the healing will be there. Sometimes it needs some help. The bone needs to be reset, the right kind of care, and oftentimes professional care has to be there to help us to heal in the right way. But really, like, the body is like trying to heal itself, our bodies. We probably don't think about that as clearly when it comes to our mental and spiritual well-being. But I wonder how much of a paradigm shift this is for us if we were even to just begin to believe or risk believing that we're actually created to be well, and we will move towards wellness if we just have the right kind of guidance or help or support at times. Because to me, it would seem like, and I think I fall into this trap, especially with mental health and my own mental well-being, like we fall into this language of brokenness, and like the broken stuff is the standard, and you almost have to do something over and against yourself to be well. But this is really almost like putting things back in the right order so that what is meant to be will be able to come to be. Okay, I've talked too long about that, but I want to hear, you know, your thoughts on that, this paradigm shift towards recognizing that we're kind of created to be well.
I think that's another really beautiful both and, honestly. I think that there's great theological truth and depth in the idea that we as human beings are broken. You know, we certainly weren't intended to be broken, but because of the fall, we experience reality in a broken way. So concupiscence is real. My inclination towards sin is real. And there are ways that my human nature, left unchecked, will naturally tend away from God. But that doesn't mean that every ounce of God's image and likeness has been lost in my life, right? So
that's a good Catholic response there to the
Exactly. No, I mean, it's true that if we maintain the dignity that God has given us, then we have the presence of God in our lives. And maybe especially through baptism, we have spiritual, and I would say even mental, psychological leanings toward wellness. And we were designed for health. And Christ shows that a million different times. There are a a ton of times that he gives someone physical health, but he always acknowledges the faith of the person in the midst of the physical healing.
Yeah.
So he's not actually primarily concerned about their physical well-being. That's a sign of something greater that's happening for them. Mm. And even the people in scripture and throughout the history of the church who don't experience extraordinary physical healing, anyone who receives anointing of the sick, they receive spiritual healing, which is by far the greater healing in general. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to look at the things that are not tangible in a world that is obsessed with the material and to acknowledge the reality of what's going on behind the scenes.
Mm. And I want to piggyback on that too, because really one of the first things that I have to help my clients to, like you said, a paradigm shift, Lenny, is this idea that even the maladaptive coping mechanisms, the things that are going, their addiction, their rageful response at their children's misbehavior, whatever they're bringing to me that they're upset about, I help them understand that the part of them that's acting is actually out for self-preservation. Yeah. It wants their flourishing.
Right.
Gone about it in a way that is disordered.
Right.
But at its core, we're not trying to eliminate that part of you. It's that shaming of that part, shaming of that behavior that can bring out those defense mechanisms that make therapeutic care very difficult for lots of people. And so what my clients seem to give me feedback about is, can you help me understand that, yes, that was not the right means to go about that, but the goal was good.
Yeah.
And was ultimately right ordered. My ways of going about it were not. And then we can, within that, talk about, okay, what might be more congruent with your values? Mm. What might actually reflect who you feel called to be, which is different than who you are today.
Yes, yes.
But who do you actually feel called to be? Let's move you forward in the pursuit of virtue and wholeness. Yeah, the base of it is this belief that I do want flourishing and thriving, even for suicidal clients, honestly, to work with that part of them that can acknowledge in my own distorted, contorted way, I do want your survival. I do want, I would say, communion with God for all eternity.
Wow, that's powerful. This is Leonard DiLorenzo. You're listening to Church Life Today on the Spook Street Media Network. I'm talking with Kenna and Pat Millay of the Martin Center for Integration. They provide services for the integration of mental health and faith for individuals, families, and organizations. Look them up online at martincenterforintegration.com. Can you talk to us a little bit about the name for the center? Because you were not the Martins, you were the Millays. I've known you for a long time, but tell us about the name for your center.
Yeah. So in a lot of our discernment planning thoughts and just hearing the way that God was calling in the midst of founding the Martin Center, St. Therese of the Shoe has been a kind of a patron saint of our family for a long time. She has a lot to do with Hannah's story of her feeling the call to the vocation of marriage in general. She has had a lot to do with our particular dating and engagement process. And Lord knows when you have seven kids, the little way is very crucial because a lot of the things we do throughout the day are not very big, but we try to do them out of as much love as possible, right? And then later on in our marriage, after her parents, Louie and Zelie, were canonized, mm-hmm. we got a real kind of close connection with them as well as some of the many patron saints of marriage. And then later on, as we were starting to do more discernment about the Martin Center, we started to uncover all these different things about their life that really connected with us. And I think with the world that Zelie died young, Therese's mother, when Therese was only 4 years old. And after that time, both Louie and Therese suffered significant mental illness in their life. And that expressed itself in a number of different ways. But most importantly, it didn't stop them from holiness and it didn't stop them from heaven. It didn't become an obstacle to their relationship with God. And yeah, so it's just this beautiful opportunity to integrate faith and mental health with these patrons who have really led us in our marriage and family as well.
Mm. Yeah. And if I can plug a favorite book of mine,
Yeah. There's
this tiny little book by Father Mark Foley. He's a Discalced Carmelite called The Love That Keeps Us Sane. And it's from this series of books, illumination books that were written from the spiritual greats about psychology. And Father Foley set out to explain how Teresa's little way has been misconstrued as this dismissive, I get small and I think of myself as nothing. And he's like, she was actually like a lion. She was amazing. And mental strength and fortitude are things we've underestimated. And so in this really small book, readable, I've probably read it five times, he goes about explaining with recounts from stories in the convent primarily about how Therese shows us to love while being sane. And I would say to love with boundaries, to love with a strong sense of self, to love without the compulsion to fix the other or to even highlight the other's shortcomings to the other. And so the conclusion of his book, he says, I told you in the introduction that I was not setting out to write a book about the spirituality of St. Therese, that I was really wanting to expound upon her spirituality as a ways to psychological wellness. And he says, but I cannot separate the two because to be truly holy is to be truly sane. And so that has inspired a lot of my practice. And as Pat and I have discerned coming together to work on this and meeting a need that the church has expressed to us locally, that has resonated and been kind of our guiding post. The two come together. So the integration.
Oh, love that. You know, I know that as part of what you're doing in the Martin Center, you're starting a podcast. And I love the name of the podcast, which is The Whole Life. And I love your tagline for it that really follows along with what you were just talking about there, which is seeking sanity and sanctity. Tell us a little bit about your podcast, what people can expect to find there when you launch it.
Yeah, so it'll primarily be Pat and I hosting together. We have brainstormed over these months about the things that show up in daily life that have this opportunity to either make you feel like you are just, I don't know. There's a word I want to use. You're going to have to edit this out, Lenny. the word is not appropriate.
The stuff. Yeah.
I told you.
This is staying in. This is not going out. No, this is real. Look, people, this is real. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of reality.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So over these past few months, Pat and I brainstormed about the things we encounter in daily life that can often make us feel like we are failing. We are just not living up to this call to be spouses, to be parents, to be, you know, employees out in the world. And have talked about what do we do in those moments and what are ways in which we could share that in a way of humility, of like, we are with you in the trenches, but also a spirit of hope of like, hey, these are the resources that we have found. These are the wise directors, therapists, you know, mentors, colleagues who have spoken truth into our life, and we want to share that.
Yeah, there, I come at this in kind of a funny angle with a lot of beautiful theological training, a lot of great ministry experience, and Hannah is clearly the clinical therapeutic expert, right? So it's a really great opportunity for both of us to bring what we know best. I mean, Hannah has this amazing wealth of knowledge from her practice, from her own life, from her own work in her own mental health, in being truly connected to self and to others and to God. And then both of us have a great theological background of being able to connect this to faith. So we're going to have a lot of fun conversations between the two of us, just getting really practical about marriage and relationships and in-laws and work and goodness gracious parenting, all kinds of good stuff. But we're also good. We've got a lot of guests in mind, including a good priest friend of ours here locally, who himself has received a great amount of psychological training and is just incredibly insightful in bringing the truth of the gospel to bear on just the normal day-to-day mental health challenges of our lives.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the in-laws episodes. This would be great. You might have like a whole offshoot podcast from your main podcast called The Whole Life with our in-laws. It'll be great. You know, I mean, obviously, as people would know by now listening to you, in addition to being partners in this new venture, you're also obviously married and partners in raising the small tribe of human beings that you've brought into the world and nurtured. Would it be okay to ask, like, what are some of the practices or habits that y'all have developed as a family for growing toward wholeness, towards this sanity and sanctity together?
Yeah, absolutely. So identifying values, being able to clearly say, this is the purpose of our family. This is what we feel God is calling us to. And then to let life structure, you know, Lenny, before this, we were talking about sports and driving and commitments. And so how do all those things come together? And how do we understand that they really do support this goal? This, you know, we are heaven bound as a family. So that'd be one thing. I would say the other thing we talk a lot about is not personalizing our children's responses. So being able to receive their emotions and to not hear those as being all about us.
Yeah.
So that we get all up in arms and have our own emotional response that overwhelms them. So those are, the basis of a lot of what we'll share too when it comes to parenting.
And my wife told you to tell that to me, Cameron, right? Yes. I'm sure that, that's where that came from.
Wait, you struggle with that too?
Oh, come on. There. Yeah.
You're the first one I've ever heard.
I live in that cloud. Yeah.
I'm finally convinced that Kenna didn't go back to school for marriage and family therapy just to help me out.
It's to help us out, Pat. It's us. Yes.
Exactly, right. Yeah, I think the other two things that come to mind for me is really passing along a spirit of our family after we have identified the values that Kenna talked about. These are the things that we are as a family, kind of creating our own little family culture. That we as a family get to work together to choose the things that support or don't support those values. Mm-hmm. And if they support them, we'll make time for them no matter what. If they don't support them, we're going to let them go. And some of that's probably frustrating and annoying down the road, especially for our kids, but we're going to have to let them go. I hear all the time, especially when I was working in youth ministry directly, from families who, again, good, faithful Catholic families trying to do the best they could. And they would identify that their value is that their faith is more important than activities in their life. Mm. And then they would explain why their kid couldn't go on any one of the seven different confirmation retreat options because they have sports tournaments every single weekend, right? Or, you know, we can't go to mass because we're on vacation at the cabin that weekend, things like that. That dissonance is reflected and, you know, youth and adults alike can sniff out that dissonance in any moment. It doesn't matter what we say our values are, because I will show you what my values are based on what I do. So helping our kids understand that. And then I think just good kind of emotional health and understanding with our kids as well, which with toddlers is it's a growing edge for our family. But just helping ourselves in our marriage acknowledge our feelings. I have learned in the course of my marriage that I, as a man, do have emotions. So learning to express them, to be honest about them.
I could have told you that before you were married. Come on. You had emotions as an undergrad. Come on.
Could you have done that, Lenny? That maybe was solved.
No, but I only had certain emotions. Oh, okay. I only had the fun ones, right?
They were fun. Yeah.
So really trying to be witnesses for our kids of what it looks like to relate to each other in ways that you can have charitable disagreement and even argument and still love each other. And forgive and demand that of our kids as well, that we want you to be honest about your feelings with us. Just because you're angry doesn't mean you're bad. And it doesn't mean that we will respond with anger at you. It means that I want to know what's on your heart at all times, good, bad, or in between.
Really beautiful. Well, guys, this work that you're doing together, I think we can all recognize is just so, so needed. And I'm so, I don't know, refreshed to know that you're doing this. And so I'm looking forward to see where it goes. Folks can find out more, I know, on your website, martincenterforintegration.com. Any other ways to reach out to you if people want to follow up?
Yeah, so we'll be dropping the trailer for this Whole Life podcast coming up in a week or two here. And then
what's the date? Official... Do you have a general date for that? Because time for when probably... these things. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. By the end of July.
By the end of July.
Great. By the end of July, the trailer will be live. And then the official launch date for the first three episodes will be on Sunday, September 4th.
So 2022. Because people will be listening to this episode we're doing right now for 100 years. So we had to say in 2022 is where it happened. Yeah. Right.
So coming out of perpetuity. Right. So
September 4th,
2022.
Yeah.
Yeah. This Whole Life, Labor Day weekend, we'll be dropping the first three episodes. And you can check us out there.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, Kenna, Pat, thank you so much for making time to talk about this with us today. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks. God bless you.
Awesome. And thanks to all of you for joining us on Church Life today.
Church Life Today is a production of Spoke Street Media and the McGrath Institute for Church Life at the University of Notre Dame, and is brought to you in part by Notre Dame FCU and our listeners.
This show is a production of the Spoke Street Media Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.
Ave Maria Press has been publishing Catholic books and resources for more than 150 years, and they are located right on the north side of the Notre Dame campus. Visit AveMariaPress.com for a wide selection of spirituality books, classic Catholic literature, and even books for families. You can also find podcasts and free downloadable Catholic content. Visit AveMariaPress.com and receive 25% off your order with code REDEEMER. Ave Maria Press, helping people to know, love, and serve God.